Welcome to Online for Authors, where I, Terry M. Brown, author of character-driven fiction and host of the podcast, introduce readers to characters they'd love to invite to lunch by interviewing authors, discussing their books, learning about the writing process, and even, on occasion, chatting live with a panel of authors to discuss topics relevant to both readers and writers. My guest today on the Online for Authors podcast is Caleb Weigel, author of the Myrtle Beach Mystery Series. I've invited Caleb on today to talk about marketing, something that he does really well and many authors need to learn a little more about. Caleb is an acclaimed mystery author and seasoned mystery writer instructor affiliated with the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at Coastal Carolina University. He is renowned for his exceptional storytelling, notably in the Myrtle Beach Mystery Series. His talent goes beyond the realms of mystery writing. He's also a dedicated social media marketer, a skilled woodworker, an occasional golfer, and a beach enthusiast known for his knack for finding shark teeth along the shoreline. His passion for unraveling mysteries and teaching the art of mystery writing continues to inspire aspiring writers and captivate readers worldwide. Welcome to Online for Authors. Today we have Caleb Weigel, author of the Myrtle Beach Mystery Series, and he's here today to chat with me about marketing. Welcome, Caleb.
Hey, Terry. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here with me. Before we get started in the marketing, though, I want you to go ahead and do a little of your own marketing and tell people what is the Myrtle Beach Mystery Series.
So the Myrtle Beach Mystery Series are fast, fun, clean, easy beach reads all set in and around the Grand Strand. I use real locations, landmarks, restaurants, businesses in the books, make up places I need to protect myself and the innocent. Excuse me. And basically the stories follow a bookstore by the name of Clark Thomas. Clark owns a bookstore on the Myrtle Beach Boardwalk. At the start of the series, he had lost his wife 2 years prior. She died of a heart attack at her desk. She works as a clerk at the city courthouse, and he's kind of stuck in a rut, and he'd ride to work one morning and discovered a body rolled up in a rug by his back door of his bookstore. And so the victim happened to be a friend of his that worked a couple blocks away at a resort, so he gets mixed up in an investigation, tries to find out who did it, then learns more than he bargained for along the way, which is what sets up the rest of the series. So each book has its own self-contained mystery, but there's a storyline that connects them all together.
Right.
And now we're getting ready to release the sixth book next month in April, and I'm working on the seventh book, which will tie up that storyline.
And so you have something else planned, I'm assuming?
I will continue this series, but not quite. Like, I've been releasing 2 books a year for the last 3 years.
Right.
I don't know if I will do this series as much because I have an idea for another series that may or may not involve a bakery owner who is an ex-CIA agent.
May or may not.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't want to give away too much right now.
Well, not only that, but if you told us, you might have to kill us, and then you know that.
The character might. But yes. But they'll be in the same they'll be in the same universe. So my main character Clark and all his friends will be cohabitating this section of Myrtle Beach with them. So he might pop in from time to time, but he'll also have his own adventures going forward. Oh, but there's a storyline here I'm brainstorming, working on. I was actually working on it yesterday. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. But it'll be the same type of stories.
Right. Well, fantastic. Thank you for that. Yeah. So we're gonna start with, I'm gonna tell just a really quick story on myself, because marketing is uber important when you're an author. And when I launched my first book, I had absolutely no idea about marketing. In fact, I didn't even know I was supposed to do it. I thought that I would write my book, that it would get put onto Amazon, and that I would see sales. And I actually did launch my book. And by launch, I mean, it went out into the world. Okay. Yeah. And I watched my computer screen that whole first day and day two and day three and said, okay, something is not working here. And then I thought, look at all these books on Amazon. There is no way someone's going to accidentally find me. And I am completely unknown. In fact, most of my friends don't even know I write. Like, that's how unknown I am. And I did a like crash course in marketing and started just like doing everything that I could figure out how to do. The second launch went better. I just had my third launch. It went better. I'm starting to get the hang of it, but I'm watching you and it's like, you seem to be a marketing guru. Like I love watching what you do. And in fact, I often watch what you do and then think, how can I copy something like that without being a complete copycat?
Yeah, it's funny. I hear that often from fellow authors.
Yeah. So you obviously have...
Which I think is a big compliment.
It is. It is a compliment. So that's what I want to talk about today is like, first of all, did you know you needed to market from the beginning?
No. So my first book came out in 2005 or 2006. I forget exactly.
Okay.
I've been writing now for 20 years. Okay. I started writing 20 years ago. The book came out. It took a year or two for it to come out after I finished writing it. So my first publisher was a very small publisher, and there wasn't a big contract. I was an unknown. I wrote a book. It was a young adult novel set in the middle of West Virginia, which nobody was interested in reading. But they saw something that they wanted to publish it, and so they published the book. And I assumed that, you know, they'd put it out to the world and market it.
Right, right.
They'd have it on the stands of Walden Books and
exactly
and Borders back then, because there wasn't social media at that time. And so I figured that they'd put out a press release or get on the news or whatever. And so they published the book and they said, here you go, sell it. And I was 26 years old. I had no background in marketing. I had no idea what to do. So basically just friends and family read that book.
Right.
And by the second book, Murder in Concord, it was similar. It was kind of the what helped me get my bearings in the literary and marketing world, in that we lived in Concord, North Carolina at the time, and I wrote a book set there, similar to what I did here with Myrtle Beach Mysteries.
Right.
And so this was still before social media, before Facebook. I think it was even before even MySpace. And so, but this time I had a book in my hands, The Murder in Concord, that had an appeal to the local media. So I had a couple newspaper articles written about it. And did a couple book signings at some of the local bookstores and started to get kind of a following. So I was, for several years, I was a district trader for Target, where I'd go around to different stores in the area and train staff in electronics, entertainment, backroom flow, inventory, all that stuff. And eventually I got bored with it. And I started a sports news website called WVU Pros, growing up in West Virginia, I was a big fan of West Virginia Mountaineers. And at that time, this was 2011, maybe, they had a lot of, you know, well-known players in the NFL. And so I decided that I was going to start writing articles based on these players and give news about it. Because that's something, because like if you follow college sports blogs, they just talk about the players on the current team. And after they go to the pros, they don't really get talked about that much. So I decided I would start a website just focusing on the pros, and it became successful. And I used social media, especially Twitter at the time, to market the articles. I ended up getting articles on ESPN, Sports Illustrated. I did a couple freelance articles for the Charlotte Observer through doing this. And I wasn't writing novels at the time. I was focusing on the website, and the website never really ended up paying off. And I eventually just kind of went away from it because I got bored with it. But I had ideas to write action adventure novels. And so when the action adventure novels kind of along the lines of a Cloud Custer novel, whenever they came out, I was able to use the knowledge that I had from
doing your articles,
from doing the sports articles to do with the action adventure novels. And one of them was about Blackbeard the Pirate. The first one was called Blackbeard's Lost Treasure. And so I knew that that would appeal to a certain audience. And I didn't. And at the time, I'd stopped working for Target. And my wife worked at a hair salon. And the owners saw what I did with this website. And they said, well, do you want to do the social media for our salon? I was like, yeah, sure. Excuse me. And they said, oh, we have a couple of friends who own a couple of Dunkin' Donuts franchises. Would you be interested in working for them too? So from there, I started doing social media for small businesses. Mm-hmm. And it got me into the Facebook ads platform. And it has changed a lot in the last 10 years. But it got me on board with getting familiar with that and the way that worked. And so whenever Blackbeard's Lost Treasure came out, I was able to use my knowledge with the Facebook ads dashboard to market that book. I didn't have a big budget. I was spending like maybe a dollar a day, but still it got traction, and it got, it became a semifinalist in the Cloud Custer Adventure Writers Competition. And that got me some notoriety that was more widespread than just Concord, North Carolina.
Right.
And then a couple years later, I wrote second book, The Search for the Fountain of Youth, and my wife and I, we'd been married for 15 years at that point, and we finally were able to conceive of a child. And so the thinking was that my wife was a hairdresser, and I know I'm going way off. I'm going to rope it back in, trust me. My wife was a hairdresser, so the thought was when we had our baby that I'd be a stay-at-home dad, which was the best job I've ever had. I love writing and making up stories and stuff, but being able to stay at home with my son for the first 5 years of his life, it's something I'll always treasure. And I'm so glad I was able to do it.
Right, right.
But whenever he was sleeping, I was writing. and so I was writing a third action adventure novel when we moved to Myrtle Beach. My wife got a job at a upscale hair salon in Market Common. And so we moved down, and here we had my mother-in-law lives in Saucasty. My aunt and uncle lives in Garden City, and my parents were selling their house in West Virginia to move to the area. So we're going to have more support with our son. That would free up more time for me to do other projects.
You're writing, right?
Yeah, but when we moved here, my son was at an age where he stopped wanting to take naps in his crib, and he needed as being a parent, you know, he needed his afternoon naps. I needed his afternoon naps to maintain my sanity. So I'd put them in the back of the car. We'd drive up and down Ocean Boulevard every day. And so my wife and I, we watched a lot of mystery shows, and I've been reading mystery books for most of my life. And during one of these trips, you know, a lot of those series and shows were set in usually small towns, like villages, right. like exactly. Especially like the English ones.
Right.
And the reason it being is because it's easier for the writers to keep track of the characters, and it's easier for the viewers and readers to keep track of the characters. And so Myrtle Beach is by no means a small town, but driving up and down Ocean Boulevard 3-4 times a week, you come to realize that, yeah, there's millions of people who come here every week, every summer, but for the people who live and work here, they remain static.
Exactly.
And so I thought, well, what if I were to set a mystery series on the Myrtle Beach boardwalk and maybe just spread it out as the series progressed? So I went home, did some market research using the Facebook ads platform where you could type in different interests of people, potential readers. So, excuse me, it's one of these allergy things. So I did some research and I typed in on the interest section of the Facebook ads dashboard, trying to figure out what my demographics, what my targets would be. I typed in mystery fiction, Agatha Christie, and cross that over with Myrtle Beach. And there ended up being like 36 million people who would be potentially available in that audience.
In that cross section of audience. Yes. Yeah.
And then I thought, well, what age people would read this off, but click 35 and older, and mostly women. And still, it narrowed down just like 5 million people. It's still like 35 to 45 million people who might be interested in a book like that. So I presented this data to my publisher along with my story arc idea. And they said, stop writing what you're writing. Do this instead. Because I wasn't making money. I mean, at the time, a good royalty check would get us a trip to Outback Steakhouse to get a steak. A normal one would get us a Taco Bell to get a steak burrito.
Yeah.
So, really, I had nothing to lose because I was taking care of my son, doing social media marketing for the small businesses on the side, and while my wife worked. And so I started plugging away at this novel, and when it finished, I thought it was pretty good. Let my beta readers read it; they loved it. My publisher loved it, and so when we set a release date for it, the publisher sent, excuse me, I don't know, you can't edit all that out. My publisher set a release date for it and sent out a press release to the local media. And within a day, I was being asked to do TV interviews and newspaper.
Right, because you had that local flair.
Right. And it was something that just hadn't been done here in Myrtle Beach. So I had that local tie-in where I said, hey, I'm going to use, you know, real places, make up other ones to, you know, because I don't want to get sued.
Right.
And so I was on TV several times. And by the time the book came out, I had set up ads, mainly Facebook ads, to people who might to pre-order the book. And the day the book came out, like, I had published four books. This was my fifth book. Death on the Boardwalk was my fifth book. I am so sorry. Death on the Boardwalk was my fifth book. I'd published four books before. The day it came out, it sold more books that first day than my previous four books had in their collective history combined.
Wow.
In the course of 15 years. And so we knew we were onto something. So I kept, like, I was spending a dollar a day on ads, which is all you need to do to start. You can spend, if you can go out to Starbucks a couple times a month, you can afford to get into Facebook advertising.
Okay.
Depending on what your budget allows for, you could do more than that. But just a dollar a day can get you started. That's all you need, and then that'll start moving the needle. So I was able to narrow down my interest. Like, I was able to figure out the people. Now my books aren't there's not profanity or anything like that. There's not violence in the books like some James Patterson novel might have, but they're written kind of in that style where there's fast moving chapters and there's a hook at the end of every chapter.
Okay. So
readers who like James Patterson tend to like my books for that reason. Because it's a similar type of style. So I was able to, over time, experiment with the Facebook ads dashboard and figure out that I could cross over the interest between James Patterson, Agatha Christie, and also target, in a separate thing on down on the screen, people interested in Myrtle Beach. And those ads took off. And I was doing a lot of, you know, boots on the ground marketing, going to all these festivals and fairs, book signings, like where I met you.
Right.
And able to start getting, you know, a readership up and word of mouth. People are coming and buying stacks of books and sending them to their family around the country. And it's kind of amazing how it's grown. But a lot of it I attribute to Facebook.
So then let's talk about that a minute, because that's not something that I have done. I know zero about Facebook ads. And so you act like a dollar a day and you just go do it. What, as someone who doesn't know anything about a Facebook ad, and I suspect that there are a lot of authors out there who you say things like Facebook ads, I can feel my body start to shut down.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't know that platform. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What are you looking for in a Facebook ad? Like, how do you even write a Facebook ad?
Writing the ad is an important part of it. But the first thing you need is a scroll stopping image.
A scroll stopping image.
Okay. So, something that's going to make people stop and want to read the text that you're going to put in there.
Okay.
That's the first thing. And for authors, if you don't know what to look for, you can actually go to the Facebook ads library and type in and look at any ad of an author who's similar to you. So like if I want to appeal to John Grisham readers, I can get on the Facebook ads library and look at all of his ads. And I can see his images and his texts and everything.
And so that gives you then kind of, not that you would copy it exactly, but it would give you an idea of what you might be able to do in your own genre or your own. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And as far as like creating the images are concerned, like you get an idea from them because they have professional.
Exactly.
They're advertising people.
Right.
But for people like us, we do have tools that we can use. Some, and a lot of times are free. You can pay to upgrade to different levels of it. But like Canva.
I use Canva.
Okay,
yeah.
So yeah, Canva has a lot of templates you can use. And you can pop your book in there. Mm-hmm. And another one called BookBrush is another free one that readers that authors can use. And BookBrush is specifically for books.
Okay.
And so a lot of their imagery and tools revolve around just creating this perfect little square ad. I have found with my readers, with mystery readers, and typically because they tend to be skew as an older demographic, video doesn't really do a whole lot for me. It's mainly just having that image.
Okay.
For other people who write like fantasy or romance or spicy stuff, they've found a lot of
the video
like TikTok especially.
Right.
TikTok is something you can pay to advertise on TikTok, but you don't need to do it. If you make a video that goes viral, then that'll buy you a new car.
Right.
For some authors. So, but for what I write for the mysteries, that doesn't tend to work too well. It's mainly having the scroll stopping image and then text that's going to have the readers wanting to read more.
Okay.
And there's different things you use and what Facebook does now, and it's changed in just the past 6 months because they're using AI to target potential readers.
Right.
And so like where I used to put in for my interest, you know, James Patterson, Agatha Christie, crossover with people who are also interested in Myrtle Beach. And then you can even drill down even farther from there. People who read Kindle because my books are a series. I have them in Kindle Unlimited. And
right.
I have it in the back of every book. Like when you get to the last line of the book, it says to be continued. The next line on Kindle is click here to read the next book.
Right.
So I'm just sending people right through the series.
Right.
And so when I'm able to appeal to Kindle readers, that's where Facebook for me has had the most benefit.
Okay.
But now they've changed it just in the past 6 months to where having these interest targeting is something you can still do, but their AI tools
work
better.
Okay.
And this is something I noticed last spring that, you know, I'd accidentally put out an ad that didn't target anything, but it still, it was working. Now they couldn't figure out why. And there's a Facebook ads guy, his name is Matthew J. Holmes, who I started reading his stuff, and that's what he was doing with his wife's books.
Okay.
Where he's doing basically untargeted advertising with Facebook, where you pick your, like for me, it's readers, women 35 and up.
Right. Right.
And all I would say is just pick readers 35 and up. So what Facebook does now is they look at your image and then your text and target people who they think will be interested in that. Just
right.
Just with AI. And so when you, like for me, for my books are in Kindle Unlimited, you have your you don't even have to have your book cover there. Just some element of your book sometimes is all you need. Like my best image is still one of the first ones I did, which is basically like the book has the cover a stylized version of the Myrtle Beach Skywheel on the cover.
Right?
Yeah. And so I took the background of it and put a review quote in front of the Skywheel. And that has been my best performing image. Just something simple. I don't even use the book cover. And so just that simple image is all it takes, because it has the cover, and then they click on the link and it goes, and they see the same image on the cover of the book, and like, okay, well, we know what this is.
Right.
So it gets them familiar with the books before they even know what the books are.
And when you do your click through, where are you having them click through to Amazon?
I take them straight to Kindle.
To Kindle.
Okay. Yeah. And then the other thing, because because Facebook is now using AI, looking at your images.
Right.
I want to make sure I have a Kindle Unlimited logo.
Okay.
In a corner of the image.
Okay.
That way, when somebody is scrolling through Facebook and they see this book ad and they see a Kindle Unlimited logo and they're like, oh, I can get it for free. Even though they're still paying for it, but they think, well, it's a free book.
Exactly.
Even though it's not a free book.
Right. Right.
And so they take that. Then they also take, you want to have different keywords in your text. Like you want to say it's, you know, a clean mystery series for fans of Myrtle Beach. That's the usual one in somewhere in my main description.
Okay.
That where it tells a potential reader exactly what it is. Clean mystery series set in Myrtle Beach.
Right. Right. So pretty straightforward.
Yes.
You want the words that you're using in these Facebook ads to actually, you're not leaving your customer wondering what it is. You want to tell them exactly.
Yeah, okay.
How many words do you get? Or is it you get
unlimited words. I know authors who put like the entire first chapter in a text.
Okay.
I have different, like you can use up to 5 different text variations in an ad. And usually one of them is like the first 3 paragraphs of the first book.
Okay.
And they usually that's enough to get somebody to click because it's basically there was a rug I wasn't expecting awaiting me by the back door of my bookstore to start the day. It was a sepia and periwinkle multi-tone rug with multicolored squares. It was a nice rug, except for the body rolled up in the middle of it, which is all I put.
And you don't have to put anything else, right?
Yeah, I just put click the link to keep reading. And then you'll have, so that's your main text. Then Facebook also lets you put in headlines. And the headlines are the bigger, bolder print that shows up underneath your images. And that's where you put in like a short review quote or like for me, mysteries using real places in Myrtle Beach, fun mysteries, just some
little taglines,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to assume that you think that Facebook ads is like the number one thing that authors should be doing.
For me, for my genre.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I know you do a lot of in-person things.
Yes.
That's something that, you know, I'm definitely doing as well. It's like put myself out there. I have found that people who have met me continue to follow me. much mm-hmm. more so than like I've done a few of these things where I get more people on my newsletter and it's because of a contest. And so many of those people fall away and never read my newsletter at all anyway,
right.
That I'm not sure that that's as valuable as catching people who've met me. Once they've met me mm-hmm. and they've got on my newsletter, we're friends.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way they feel about that.
Like there's a big movement in the author advertising world to get people to sign up for your newsletter.
Right.
And part of that is offering a freebie to get them to sign up. Like, hey, right. here's a free book. Here's a free short novel. Here's a free short story. And what I've found is, yeah, you can get people, you know, line them up to sign up for free stuff. But then the second you say, hey, my next book is for pre-order, it's crickets.
Right.
And those people generally tend to fall off the list, or they just never open them and you end up cleaning them off your list anyway. So like you say, the best people on your newsletter are the people you've met in person.
Yeah. Met in person, like, they've started reading your books. Mm-hmm. Now they do want to know more.
Yeah, yeah. You go to a book signing, and when you hold a book signing, doesn't matter if it's a Barnes & Noble, local coffee shop, an art gallery, doesn't matter where it is. If you have a clipboard or yep. something on your table, says email yep. sign up, people sign up before they even really sometimes even talk to you. Yep, there you are.
Yeah.
Mine's in a closet somewhere. Anyway.
Yeah, well, I just happened to have something yeah. the other day, so that's why I have it sitting yeah. out here. But those are the people, once they have sat and talked with you. In fact, I've met these people at other events, and they say, hi, I'm, you know, Rebecca, do you remember me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. You don't, because you meet so many people, but these are people who like you. So we've got Facebook ads. We've got get yourself out there in the world.
Yeah.
Right. What else do you suggest?
Well, for me, because I have the local angle, press releases have worked well
mm-hmm.
because we'll put out a press release and we have a whole list of contacts to send it to in the local media. And, mm-hmm. and I've even developed friendships with some of the local reporters now. So it's like, I'll reach out to say, hey, I have a book coming out. You want to talk about it? And they're like, yeah, let's set up a
come
date.
On. That's yeah.
But for the first couple of books, it was sending out that press release would get me some hits.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how you create, you know, an awareness of your books locally.
Right.
Because my books are local. I'm appealing not just to readers across the United States. I'm appealing to people who live here.
Who live here, right?
Yeah,
right.
And
now I have noticed. So my books are not local, but I have noticed that people do like to learn about local authors, and
yes.
so I've been able to get some press releases out, not quite to the extent that you can, but just because I am a local author.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to hear about, there's just something little local papers like to hear about local people and doing things. And so, you know, definitely I would say that if as an author, you haven't been reaching out to your local paper, you're missing something. You need
yes.
to definitely be pushing out there to that.
Yes. And go to your local libraries, donate copies of your books. So they don't have a big budget. They can,
right.
they can't order every book that you know, people drop off at their desk.
Right.
And if somebody there reads the book, enjoys the book, they will recommend it to the patrons.
Right.
And then if they like you enough, they'll invite you to come in and do author talks, or they'll,
right.
or they'll spread the word, to the other libraries in the area, in whatever area you're in.
Right. Right. All right. So we've got these local things. Is there anything else? Like, do you do a newsletter?
Not very often. About once a month, we do one. Right,
okay.
right now, and I say we. I have a marketing intern, a college
okay.
marketing intern who's doing.
Listen to you.
Yeah. that was a funny story how that came up. But anyway, I chat with my intern every week, and I say, hey, this is what we're going to do, and she has other suggestions of her own. But right now, okay. because the books are Myrtle Beach based. And I've done, you know, SEO marketing for other websites. is we are doing, sending out surveys to my readers. Hey, what is your favorite Myrtle Beach restaurant? What is your favorite thing to do in Myrtle Beach? So we have a couple of different things we're doing there where we send out like every couple of weeks, hey, click to do this survey for us. And I'll put it on Facebook. Then my intern, thankfully, goes through and compiles all the data and comes up with the top 10. And then she writes the article. Then I go through and add in my local knowledge of different things.
Right. Right.
So that what that does is because people are searching best restaurants in Myrtle Beach 2024, best things to do.
Right.
Yeah, they'll find me.
Right.
And so that's another thing that we're doing is we are writing articles to appeal to potential readers. I still have articles that I wrote about Blackbeard. So whenever Blackbeard's Lost Treasure came out in 2014, I wrote articles about, and even after it came out, about people finding Blackbeard's artifacts from Blackbeard's treasures, different treasures from around, like different treasures that people were discovering.
Right, right.
And what that did was, those are on my website, that's cornerstone content on my website, and I still get hits for those. Even almost 10 years later.
Okay.
Where some of my most hit articles are facts about Blackbeard.
Okay. Okay.
One of them is, how many people did Blackbeard kill? The answer is zero, which kind of unbelievable. So just having content related to your book, mm-hmm, as blog posts on your website can also draw in traffic of people who might be interested to read your books.
Okay. I love that idea. Yeah. And as a writer, that should be easy for people to do. One of the things I hear is, and it isn't me. I love being out in crowds and people and doing things. I mean, that's just like, it's, I don't know. I love it. There are a lot of authors who feel like, you know, I'm an author and I like to write and I want to do this in my own little world and, you know, let people read my books when I'm done. What do you say to these people? How do you get them to understand that, like, marketing is a little more than that?
People who say that, I would say, all right, so if you feel that way, if you don't want to get out and market your books, why does James Patterson go on tour?
Right.
He doesn't need to do anything for the rest of his life.
No, he doesn't.
But whenever he releases a new book, he'll go to 50 different places to help promote the book. Mm-hmm. He's sold more books than the Bible in the past like 10 years or whatever. I forget what the stat is.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy. And people like him, people like John Grisham, they still go on book tours to promote their books,
right?
Because they want to get awareness for their books. Because I mean, even like I'm 5 books into the series, and I keep track of what, like, all the comments on my ads. Like, I'll get a notification, so and so commented on whatever, on your picture,
right?
And this was just the other day, somebody said, I've enjoyed all 4 of your books and I'm looking forward to the next one. And so I get on there and I say, I've written 5. Here's a link to the 5th one. And so not everybody's going to know you have a new book.
No, that's true. Yeah.
So you need to constantly, you know, be marketing the next book or the book you have currently out or the next book.
Right. Absolutely.
Like I'm getting ready to pivot full mode into marketing my next book that's coming out in April. Because it's time. People are excited about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's about 3 months beforehand. That's about the time you get out there and you start saying, okay, it's not that your other books have gone away, but it's time to focus on this new one to get people excited about this next one, right?
Yeah, like I today or tomorrow, I'm going to write that news, that press release.
Right.
Send it to my publisher for approval and then put it out. And hopefully by next week, you might see me popping up on different places.
Yeah, I'm sure that I will. And I'll be sitting there scratching my head saying, how is he doing all of this? But so this has been really good. Social media. So you know, you've been doing social media for people and then now for yourself.
Yes.
What is the most effective? I mean, there's 400 bazillion things out there, and it can get really overwhelming. I sit down to do a social media post, and it's like, you know, you have to put it everywhere, and they're different sizes, and I feel like it's overwhelming. Where do you focus attention?
I focus attention mainly on Facebook.
Okay.
Because that's where my readers are. Okay. And that's something that I do well. And I have trained my intern on how to do it well too, because she's really a fantastic person, and she's very eager and does a great job with all of her posts. But I still do a lot of them myself.
Right.
But I focus on Facebook because I know that's where my readers are. That's where I'm going to get the most interaction without having to lift a finger at this point.
Okay.
But that's because that's where my readers are. That's where my audience is. Now, for other people, their audience might be on TikTok. They might be on Instagram.
Right.
But that's not for me. But that's just.
So are you using Twitter at all now? I know you said you used Twitter at one point.
No, I rarely ever post on Twitter.
Okay.
I listen more than anything else. I do chat with various agents on there, and they chat with me, which is interesting.
Yeah.
some things I've been told on Twitter, which is good things for the future, hopefully.
Well, good. Yeah.
But Twitter is mainly for me. Is about the writing community.
Okay.
And being in touch with the writing community.
Okay.
I very rarely have known where I've sold a book just via Twitter, but I'll still put it out.
Generally speaking, I don't know that I'm selling books on social media at all. I feel like I'm connecting with people. I feel like they're getting to know who I am, and that eventually people who see me on social media are going to find their way maybe to my newsletter, or they're going to, but I don't know that I'm actually, of course I'm not doing Facebook ads. So, but I don't know that I'm actually selling anything on my social media.
Yeah. Well, like I said, a dollar a day, it'll move the needle the first day.
All right. Well, I'm going to give that a try. I mean, my daughter's Green Mountain Gap literally just came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just came out. And so I will be able to see if it actually works. I'll be able to tell because it's new, and I'm going to know, you know, like, this is what's happening, and it's because of what I'm doing with the Facebook ads. So
now one piece of advice I'll give about authors who launch their first ad.
Yeah.
You're going to be so tempted to look at the stats every day, every hour.
See if it's working.
But here's the thing. Don't touch an ad for 7 days.
Okay.
After you launch it. Because Facebook is learning who to serve the ad to in those first 7 days.
Okay.
They're learning who to serve the ad to. And you can, like, so in a given ad, you can have more than one image. I mean, I would suggest having 4 or 5 images made up. And 4 or 5 different variations on your different ways of your text and headlines.
Okay.
Because what Facebook does with their dynamic creative is they mix all that up to find the best combinations.
Okay.
And so if you go in 3 days into it and change a headline or change or remove an image because it's not serving, then Facebook has to start. Go through the learning process all over again. So it'll stay in the learning process for longer every time you tweak it. Okay. But after a week, you can go in and you can see what's working and what's not. But usually by that time, Facebook has figured out what works best or what combinations work best to what people.
Sounds good.
Yes.
So, like, you and I are having coffee soon, right? And you're going to sit down with me and hold my hand through this.
Yeah.
Because it feels, yeah, like part of me is real excited and I want to get off the computer right now and then like run over and sit down and figure it out. And the other part of me goes, oh. Yeah, it's okay. I'm good. It's good. All right. Any other great advice that you want to pass on to authors about marketing?
Not so much about marketing, but it's be humble.
Oh, absolutely.
Be humble. I have come across authors who I've been in bookstores and authors come in wanting for the bookstore to stock their books. And they have this big head about them. Like, hey, I wrote this book. You should have it in your store.
It is the best book, yes. And you need it. Yes.
Yes. And then they leave it and walk out and you don't ever hear from them again. You gotta stay humble and realize that, you know, the bookstores are doing this, especially if you're an unknown, they're doing it as a favor to you.
Right. Right.
And so it's up to you, once you get a book into into a bookstore, to help say, hey, you can get my books at Back Again Bookshop, you can get my books at Bookends, you can get my books at Barnes & Noble, Market Common. Make sure you point readers to those places. Because it helps them, and it helps you look like, you know, you're legit, not just somebody just trying to hustle books out of the trunk of their car.
Right.
Which, by the way, I do. We all do. We all do. I mean, I always keep books in my car just for that reason. Yeah.
Me too. In fact, I sold one the other day at the post office because a lady turned to me and said, wait a minute. You're Terry Brown? You wrote Sunflowers Beneath the Snow? I said, yes. And she said, I've been wanting to read your second one, An Enemy Like Me. Where can I get it? I started to laugh. I said, if you're willing to wait for me in line, I got it in my trunk. And I sold it right there.
That's how you do it.
Yep. I tell people, I feel a little like a drug dealer. Come on over here. I got them in my trunk.
Yeah. My wife and I, we went to Wilmington last week for our anniversary, and we went into Trader Joe's. And the only spot we could find in the Trader Joe's parking lot was in the very, very corner. And there was a woman with the back of her van open, and you could see she had boxes inside the van, and they were like little hangers of jewelry in the box. it was like this woman walking towards, like she was trying to cover up a drug deal, but. It's that feeling like, yeah, it seems shady, but it's not.
It's really not.
It might look shady.
So she had her jewels going and you opened up your trunk and started selling books next to her, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I did have a couple books in there at that time. Yeah.
Yeah. So Caleb, where can people find you if they wanted to reach out and chat with you more about either marketing or books or being an author? How do they reach you?
They can go to my website, calebweigel.com, and you can go to the contact page. You can always find me on Facebook. You can type in my name and you'll find either my personal profile or my author page. And I'm always happy to talk and chat and help where I can, because it's all about paying it forward.
I agree. And that's one of the things I love most about the author community is I have found that people really are willing to share what's working for them and what's not, and here's what I do and give it a try, and I love this community. So
yeah, I am fortunate to be where I am, now my son is in school, this is my job. I make enough money from selling books that I pay the bills, and so I didn't get to where I am without help, and so I enjoy helping other authors. But there are also authors who I look up to that I now have in my phone text messages where I can send messages, talk to them, who are several years beyond where I am in my journey.
In your journey, right?
And so they have the same, you know, pay it forward mentality. When they see, you know, what I'm doing, they want to help me too, to help me grow.
Right.
And so whenever I meet an author who's trying their best, they just need a nudge in the right direction. I always enjoy sitting down. I love free coffee.
Yeah. So when I said, hey, let's go for coffee, you were all for it.
Yeah. It's on you.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. No, that's great. And I want to thank you so much for coming on
today. Thank you for having
me. I think this will be a really beneficial episode for authors who, you know, are kind of feeling a little stuck in that marketing. So thank you so much for being
here
today.
You're welcome, Terry. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. This was fun.
Thank you for listening to Online for Authors, where I, Terry M. Brown, author of character-driven fiction and host of the podcast, introduce readers to characters they'd love to invite to lunch. Tune in next Tuesday for another podcast episode.